All right, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. John's Gospel, chapter 14. These are some very familiar verses, I'm sure. And I want to use them this morning to speak to you on the subject of heaven. John chapter 14. If you need a Bible, there should be one in the hymn rack right in front of you. You may feel free to use it. And you'll go to the New Testament, to the fourth book in the New Testament, and you'll find the Gospel of John. And 14 is right after 13. It's real easy to find. All right? Everybody got it? All right, let's begin reading in verse 1. Chapter 14, verse 1. The Bible says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Now, I want you to notice here that the Lord Jesus was talking about heaven. Now, he does not call it that. He just calls it a place where he was going. But we know that he was talking about heaven. And I want to use these verses to kind of launch into a message that will give you a little information this morning about heaven. I've never met anybody who didn't want to go to heaven. Have you? Everybody wants to go to heaven. I mean, I don't know how many people I've talked to about the subject through the years, but a lot. And I have never one time ever had anybody say, "Oh, I don't want to go to heaven when I die. No, I don't want to go there." No, everybody wants to go to heaven. And so I think that we ought to pay attention here and see what the Bible has to say about this place called heaven. All right, let's pray and ask the Lord to help us, and then the message. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this opportunity we have to look at the Bible and see what the Word of God has to say about this place called heaven. I ask you to help me as I speak this morning, and I pray you'll help folks as they listen this morning. And Father, I pray that you will be honored in what we say, and I pray you'll be honored in how we hear it and use it in our lives. I pray that you will fill me with your Spirit and enable me as I speak. And Father, I pray that you will help folks to listen and to get the truth of your word in their hearts. And Father, we love you this morning. Thank you for loving us, and thank you for preparing this wonderful place that the Bible calls heaven. So bless us now, we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Without a doubt, one of the most difficult subjects for any preacher to preach on is the subject of heaven. Now, I say that because after 42 years of being in the ministry, I have just a handful of sermons that I have preached on the subject of heaven. Very few that the whole sermon has been on the subject of heaven. Very few. It is not an easy subject. You think it would be, but it is not an easy subject to preach on. And the reason is because, and this is going to shock you, But the reason is because of the limited amount of information that we have in our Bible about this place. You see, God tells us in the Bible a whole lot more about hell than he does about heaven. Dr. Hudson used to say all the time that God tells us just enough about heaven to keep us interested in it, to make us want to go there. And he tells us a whole lot more about hell to try and keep us from going there. Because whether you go to heaven or whether you go to hell, once you leave here and go out into eternity, that is forever. There is no turning back. So you either go to heaven or you go to hell for all eternity. And so we need to be prepared to go to heaven. But it is without a doubt one of the most difficult subjects to preach on. There's really not a great deal of detail about the subject of heaven. I remember years ago going to a pastor's fellowship meeting, and one of the preachers, I don't remember the man's name, but I can still see his face, and I wrote down this statement that that I'm going to give you that he said, and about heaven. Here's what he said. He said, to really understand what heaven will be like, just think of all the good things in the world, multiply them by a million, and add Jesus, and there you'll have it. That's a pretty good estimate, don't you think? Just think of all the good stuff. Multiply that by a million, add Jesus, and that's what heaven's going to be like. Now, God did not tell us a whole lot about heaven. He told us enough to make us interested, but he did not go into a whole lot of detail about the subject. Years ago, Dr. John R. Rice wrote a little booklet on heaven. There was a lot of folks that said, you ought to write a book on it. And he thought, well, you know, I don't know that I have enough material because, as I said, the Bible just does not deal with it all that much. And so he thought, well, I'll just take what material I've got and I'll write what I've got. And so he put together just a little booklet about heaven. Some of you probably have it. It is a blue, little blue paperback. A publication that the Sword put out way back in the 50s, early 60s. And he took that manuscript. This was back in the day when you sent a manuscript to the publisher to be produced. And he sent it to Grand Rapids, Michigan, to a publishing house up there. And they read it and then sent it back to him with these notes. It said, we noticed that every time you used the word heaven, now mind you, the theme of the book is heaven. And they said, every time you write the word heaven, you capitalize it. And we don't think that heaven should be capitalized since it's not a real place. And so Dr. Rice sent it back and said, sent it back to him and said, look, heaven is a real place. And if you don't publish this book with heaven capitalized, don't publish it at all. I'll get somebody else to do it. I want you to understand, folks, heaven is a real place. We are sitting here this morning in a real place. We are sitting at 550 Baltimore Boulevard in a real place in Westminster, Maryland. And heaven is also a real place. Right now, there are real people in heaven. Right now, there is a real God in heaven. Right now, there is a real Savior, the Lord Jesus, who is in heaven. And so heaven is a real place. Where is heaven? Well, we don't know exactly. Again, the Bible does not tell us. I do find it interesting that whenever the Bible is referring to heaven, it's always up. Always up. And when the Bible is referring to hell, it is always down. Every time. There is never an exception to those to that rule. Heaven is always up and hell is always down. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness." Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth. Is Mount Zion in the sides of the north, the city of our great King? So in that psalm, David tells us that heaven is in the north. It's in the north. Now that doesn't mean it's in Canada, folks. All right. When it says it's in the north, what he's talking about in the north of our universe. Now, here's what's interesting. You know, we have the Hubble and all those space telescopes up there, and they are forever taking pictures, and we're learning so much from the images that they send back. And they tell us that when they take the Hubble and point it towards the north, it's just a vast emptiness. There's nothing there. And they say that every now and then, there's just this brief little flash of light, every few seconds, this just brief flash of light. And they say, we have no idea what that could be. Well, personally, I think it's the gates of heaven opening up for a child of God to go through, personally. And a little bit of light just comes flashing out. But that's heaven up and in the north. We don't know exactly where it is, but we do know that it's in the north. And that little flash of light, who knows what that is? But could it be heaven's gate opening up to let a child of God in? Well, I believe in heaven, that's for sure, don't you? And so that could be it. Now, let's think about the characteristics of heaven this morning. What is heaven going to be like? Let me give you a couple things. First of all, I think the Bible teaches us that heaven is a holy place. H-O-L-Y, holy. Just like our God is holy. Heaven will be a holy place. In Psalm 20 and verse 6, the psalmist said, "He will hear him from his holy heaven." The Bible tells us that heaven is a holy place. You see, there will be no sin there. There's plenty of sin here, but thank God there will be no sin when we get to heaven. In Revelation 22 and verse 3, John tells us that that there's coming a day when we all get to the new heaven and the new earth, that there will be no more curse. That curse that is upon this world, that curse that is upon man, that curse is going to be lifted. It's going to be gone. Right now, you and I are living on an earth that is cursed. That's why we have these violent weather events, because the earth is cursed. That's why the animals are afraid of you and flee. That's why the weeds are growing. There is a curse upon this earth. And that curse that fell upon Adam and Eve in the garden is one day going to be removed, and no more will we groan and travail under its demands. The curse will be lifted. You know, men are under a curse. It's called sin. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And we live in a world that is just cursed because of sin. A couple of years ago, I was down, I had to go down to Hopkins to see one of our church members. And I parked in the garage and then walked up along that sidewalk that goes in the front door. And as I was walking up through there, I saw a fella up in front of me, and he was digging through the trash cans. And he was getting items out of the trash can. I didn't look to see what he was getting. I was really, to be honest with you, quite disgusted by what I was watching. And then he took he left that trash can and walked over, and there was one of those big urns sitting there with sand in it, and people would put their cigarettes in that sand before they walked in the hospital. And that fella walked over, and you could he was filthy, dirty, and just as grimy as he could be. And he walked over and picked those cigarette butts out of that sand and was sticking them in his pocket. And I thought, oh, how disgusting is that? I mean, but that's our world we live in, folks. That's what sin will do to you. That's what sin will do to you. That's where it will take you. Well, listen, there's not going to be any more of that when we get to heaven. There will be none of that when we get to heaven. Instead of men worshiping their fleshly appetites like men are doing today, instead of men worshiping their fleshly appetites, we're going to see men worshiping a holy and righteous God in heaven. So heaven is a holy place. Secondly, heaven is a happy place. Man, I'm looking forward to the happiness of heaven, aren't you? The Bible says in Revelation 7 in verse 17, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Boy, we live in a world today where a lot of people have a lot of tears. There's a lot of unhappiness in our world today. Our lives are filled with sadness and despair. Sickness and disease and death and shattered dreams and broken hearts. They're just everywhere. I remember a few years back in my office trying to help some folks with some problems, and they had a child who was just absolutely breaking their hearts and didn't know what to do. And we sat and tried to figure out what to do and prayed for that child. And that mother looked through her tears at me, and she said, Pastor, I just want you to know that every night I cry myself to sleep. Every night I cry myself to sleep. Well, folks, there'll be no more tears in heaven. Thank God that day is going to come to an end. Heaven will be a place of happiness. Everything will be perfect. It will be a place of happiness just because of the reunions. Folks, just think of the multitudes of people who have gone on before us who are in heaven right now. Can you imagine what a glad reunion day that's going to be when we all get to heaven? Just think about it. I've got a mother there. I've got two grandfathers there, and I've got two grandmothers there. I've got all kinds of church members who call me pastor who have already left here and gone on, and they're in heaven today. Can you imagine what a joyous time it's going to be when that trumpet sounds and all of God's church is raised up and we go to stand before the Lord and we get to see all of those people that have gone on before us? Can you imagine what a day that's going to be? Man, you talk about fun. We're going to have a blast on that day. It is going to be wonderful. I'm just all the time thinking about Brother Larry Stainer. And I just can't imagine. Larry is probably up there. Lord, why don't you go get him? Lord, why don't you go get him? Can you hear Larry now trying to talk the Lord into coming back and getting us? I can. Larry, it's probably killing him that the Lord has waited this long to come and get the church. Lord, I think you ought to go get him now. Well, if it was me, I'd have gone. I would have already done it. If it was me, I can hear him now. He'd just be up there doing his best to get the Lord to go ahead and come. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing Larry again. I'm looking forward to seeing my mother again. My mother did not get to see my children. She did not get to see her grandchildren. We We told her that we thought we were going to have a baby the evening before she passed away on a Monday. We told her on Sunday night that we thought Karen was pregnant, but we weren't 100% sure. And then she passed away. And I'll guarantee you, folks, that's going to be a reunion that is, I just can't wait for that day. All the things here that bring sadness are not going to be in heaven. They won't be there. And folks, when you stop and think about all the things that we have to face in this world, when you think about all the things, they won't be there when we get to heaven. They're going to be gone. Now think about it. No sickness. I mean, heaven's going to be heaven just because of no sickness. I'm so tired of hearing, oh, pray for so-and-so, they have cancer. I'm so tired of hearing, pray for so-and-so, they have diabetes. I mean, sickness will be gone. No more cancer. No more diabetes. No more heart attacks. No more leukemia. No more Hodgkin's disease. No more MS or MD or the DTs. And all of it gone. I mean, just think about it, folks. No polio, no hospitals, no clinics, no cemeteries. You ever stop thinking about that? There is not one cemetery in heaven, not one. Amen. No funeral homes in heaven. Amen. No ambulances in heaven. No liquor in heaven. You're not going to find a liquor store on the corner of Hallelujah and Glory Boulevard. There's not going to be one. No Hollywood, no IRS, cigarettes, no beer, no headaches, no glasses, no church splits. Amen. No backbiting or gossip or rumors or criticizing one another or griping about everything. It's all going to be gone. There won't be any of it in heaven. No communism or atheism or humanism or agnosticism. Only thing you're going to have in heaven is a lot of faith in Jesus Christ. No weariness or laziness or no electric bill, no gas bill, no car payments, no insurance. No murder, no rape, no cursing, no envy, no jealousy, no wrath, no strife, no gambling, no extortion, no liars, no modernists, no liberals, no demons, no Satan, no unbelief, no drunkenness. All of it is going to be gone. What a place. What a place. I'm telling you, I'm excited about it, aren't you? I say we pack up and go right now. What do you think? That's right. Not one thing that plagues us here and brings sadness to our hearts here is going to be found in that wonderful place. Oh, folks, can you imagine walking through the gate and there's your mother? Walking through the gate and there's your father. Walking through the gate and there's your wife. Walking through the gate and there's your husband. I'm telling you, you've been brokenhearted here, but joy will come in the morning. Amen. So if these are the things that are not going to be there. Secondly, what will be there? What will be there? What's the Bible say about what will be there? Well, let me give you a couple things. First of all, the throne of God and the Lamb will be there. Now, that's pretty good if you want my opinion. The Lord, the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus, sitting upon the throne of God will be there. You see, the first time the Lord Jesus came to this earth 2,000 years ago, he came as the Lamb of God and he was rejected. They said, we don't want you. We don't want you. But here is the Lord Jesus, where he belongs in the book of the Revelation, sitting upon the throne beside God the Father. And that's where he belongs. On the throne with God the Father, that is his rightful position. Then what else is there? Well, John said he saw the river of life. The river of life that flows with pure water. And he said on the banks of the river, there was this tree. He called it the tree of life. And he said that that tree yields 12 kinds of fruit and it changes each month. Everything good and everything glorious is there in heaven. John said there's something else he noticed. He noticed there was no darkness in heaven. No darkness. You ever notice that when it gets dark, your anxiety increases? Your pain increases? I had to go to the dentist this week. I tell you, this getting old thing, mercy. The guy that said golden years, somebody look him up and let's go beat the tar out of that guy, all right? All right, in Christian love, but let's go beat the tar out of it. Mercy. Golden years, my foot. I'm eating a salad and I crunched something. I said, what in the world? It was a cap. Had a root canal and a cap and broke the cap off. And so I go to the dentist. I said, here's my cap. I need you to put this back on. Oh, we can't do that. Why? I said, well, get it. Make another one. No, we can't do that. Why? Well, just, you know, you're getting older and you know, you got this problem or that problem. We got to pull that out. So now the roots don't come out right. It had roots bent like this. And so he goes to pull it and it won't come out. He goes, oh, don't you hate it when you're sitting there, you got two hands in your mouth. And he goes, oh boy. Oh man. Oh wow. What? You got both hands in my, I can't. Whoa, 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 whoa. And he's got, he goes and gets a drill and he's starting, he said, it'll be all right. No, it won't be. You got both hands in my mouth. And he fires that drill up. And I said, whoa, 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 whoa. And so he stops. What are you doing? And he said, it's okay. I'm just going to cut this in two so I can pull the roots out. So open up. Okay. So I'm going to open back up again. And then I'm sitting there going, oh, man, if that thing breaks loose, you're going to shove that thing all the way down through my chest. Do you get anxious when you go to the dentist? Am I the only one? Huh? You do, don't you? It's awful. I hate it. And I said, can we knock me out for this? Can we not just give me something that puts me asleep and then I wake up and it's the Garden of Eden all over again? I mean, can't we do something? No, insurance won't pay for that. Oh, I got money. Fooey on the insurance. I got money. When it's all gone, we'll go borrow some more. Mercy. Just absolutely falling apart. So then, break one, then broke another one. So I had to go Thursday and get them both dug out. Dug out. Dug, D-U-G. While I'm awake. Mercy. Well, when we get to heaven, no dentist. They're going to have to find a new line of work. New line of work. But I noticed when it got dark, man, that's really started to hurt. You know? I mean, it hurt during the day, but man, at night, it was like, who snuck in here and hit me in the face with a sledgehammer? You know? Ow. And they don't give you drugs anymore. You know, you might get addicted. Come on. You might get addicted. So don't give you drugs anymore. So, well, take four Advil. No, you can only take four. Four is a magic number. I wanted to take half a bottle. But no, just four. But at night, it got worse. Well, here's the good news, folks. When we get to heaven, no more night. No more darkness. I have talked to so many people through the years who have said to me when tragedy struck, when the spouse passed on to heaven, and they've said, "Pastor, I hate to see the night come. I just hate to see the night come. I know that when the night comes, that's when the battle and the struggle is going to happen." Well, good news. The day is coming when there will be no more night. The night will be done. It will be over with. And you and I will not be under the curse of sin, and we will have our glorified bodies. There will not be any need to sleep, and you'll never grow tired. Isn't that awesome? Oh, what a wonderful place. It's no wonder Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." Oh, dear friend, listen, are you homesick? Are you longing for the day when you will walk through the gates of heaven and stand in awe of the beauty of your heavenly home? Well, you better get excited about it, because it's coming. It's coming. Let that hit you. Let that sink into you. Heaven is a real place. And then one more thing I want you to consider. Look at the text that I read for you. Look at this. I want you to notice, number three, I want you to notice that heaven is only for the saved. Look at your Bible. Jesus says to the disciples, "Let not your heart be troubled. In my Father's house," that's heaven, "are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Now, folks, look at me. Jesus told the disciples, "I'm going to heaven to prepare you a place." Not repair, prepare. All right? In other words, it's going to be ready when you get there. I am going to heaven to prepare a place for you. And he said that where I am, there ye may be also. You know what that shows me? Look here. That shows me this. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared person. Have you made your preparation? Are you ready? You say, "Well, Pastor, what do you got to do to get ready for heaven?" You got to get saved. You got to get saved from your sin. You've got to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You say, "Oh, well, I'm going to go to church." No. Going to church is good, but that's not going to get you to heaven. That's not how you get ready for heaven. You get ready for heaven by trusting the Lord Jesus. Old Thomas, he sat here and he said, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus said, "Thomas, I am the way." He did not say, "I am a way," as if there is a bunch of ways and, you know, hope you find one. No, Jesus said, "I am the way." There's only one. That's him. So are you ready? Have you trusted him? You know, I'm convinced of this. I really am. I'm convinced of this. I'm convinced that most people, and there's no way I can know this for sure. I can't go ask. But I'm convinced that most people who end up in hell are surprised they're there. They thought they were going to heaven. How many times have you asked somebody, "Sir, ma'am, let me ask you a question. If something were to happen to you and you were to die, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven?" What's the answer you get 9 out of 10 times? "Well, I hope I would." That's what you get, isn't it? Are you going to heaven? Well, I hope I am. I want you to know, folks, that Christianity is not hope so, it's know so. These things write we unto you that ye may know that you have eternal life. You can know that you're going to heaven. And heaven is a prepared place for a prepared person. And you get prepared by putting your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you trusted him? I read a story years ago, I never forgot it. It's supposed to be a true story. If it's not true, the guy that wrote it is a liar, not me. But here's the story. It told about a king over in Europe years ago. And it was a time of peace and prosperity in his kingdom. And the king was trying to establish good relations with his people. And so he decided that he would have a contest. And he sent word out to all the people in the kingdom that he was looking for what he jokingly called the biggest fool in the kingdom. And what he was wanting was a court jester to come and perform. Sort of like America's Got Talent, you know? Okay? Like America's Got Talent. Just bring in the funniest guy or the, you know, the coolest act or whatever. Just to entertain. And so he said, we're going to find the biggest fool in the land. So they scheduled the date and people came from all over the kingdom. And they did their routine, they did their act. And then a group of judges decided on who was, quote unquote, the biggest fool in the land. And they gave the award to a certain jester, a clown, who entertained the king and just had everybody in stitches. And the king presented him with a golden walking stick. Biggest fool in the land. And he handed the walking stick to the man. Now the deal was that jester was to hang on to that walking stick until he found someone else in the kingdom who in his mind was a bigger fool than himself. It was all done in fun. And months passed, and word came that the king was sick. And some of the family of the king decided, we need to bring the jester in. Maybe the jester can do something that will liven the spirits of our king. So they brought the jester in and stood him before the king. And instead of coming in with a routine, instead of coming in all laughing and having fun, the jester walked in serious and stone-faced. He walked over before the king and said, "Sir, I have a question for you." And the king said, "Yes, what is it?" He said, "Have you made preparations for life after death? Have you made preparation for heaven?" And the king looked at the jester solemnly and said, "No, sir, I've made none." And so the jester reached down and took his walking stick, his gold walking stick that was presented to him just months earlier by the king, and he laid it on the king's chest and said, "Then, sir, you are a bigger fool than me." And he stood and walked out of the room. My friends, if you have not made your preparation for heaven, that is a foolish act on your part.